Mock Stars Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash. What's up, dude?
What's up? I waited a respectful amount of time, but I am not hearing the sound effects. Did I time that correctly?
It was very appropriately timed. Nearly okay, perfect. Good. Yes. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the highly anticipated SpongeBob episode. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us via YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. We're at 476. So we're climbing that ladder, baby, little by little. We're going to get there. You can also support us via all major podcasting platforms by leaving us a 5-star review. Make us look super duper cool. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see my stupid face is back on screen. So if you're listening on podcast platform of choice and you'd like to see what Menace looks like, you can see my stupid face on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell. You know, I'm always plugging. Always plugging. You can also support us via Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, you become an official Pepperhead. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server for $3 a month. Yeah, you support the show. You can also become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead at $5 a month. That gets you a free entry into each of our biweekly giveaways, which we'll be doing at the end of this episode. And then you can also support us at the 2-liter tier for $10 a month, like definitely Jeremy, Poolboy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becca. You can support us at $10 a month and get 2 entries in each of our bi-weekly giveaways, and then see our exclusive videos on Patreon. You can also support us like Raven Left and join the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge. You also get a free Nia Guy Gondu hat every single month that you are subscribed to the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge tier. And on top of that, we also have the Surgeon Master General tier, which is still available. There is one seat available on that ride, baby. And for $2,300 a month, you can become part of the Surgeon Master General tier and get a free t-shirt, custom one-of-one t-shirt designed by the Mock Stars and signed. We'll get that baby signed by Flash and Menace. You know, I'm surprised.
You haven't sent me the designs for this t-shirt.
No, because it's one of those things.
TBD.
It's one-of-one. It's in the moment. It's like, you know, when we get that sign up, it's like, I'm going to talk to that person. I'm going to see who they are or figure it out. And then the inspiration will take me, and then I will design it with, I'll probably call like Timothy Chalamet and be like, what would you wear? And maybe even Don Cheadle could help us out. He needs, you know, like stimulation out there. I haven't seen him in many roles lately, so I'm not sure what kind of like work he's been doing, but this could like, you know, help him get off the couch and, you know,
he needs a little, he's been in a funk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ever since War Machine and he's got involved in the Marvel franchise, he's been obviously cruising, obviously like sitting pretty, doesn't have to do a whole lot these days, but man, we'd love to see your face, Don. We want to see your face on screen more often.
I am happy to report that I go to my local movie theater is now the AMC in the Fashion Show Mall in Philadelphia. And when you walk in, they have like a big, I would say it's probably like 15 feet by 40 foot scroll with like 20 movie stars on it. And I'm happy to report that among those movie stars, Don Cheadle.
And LeBron James?
LeBron James is not on there. Bronny is, even though Bronny has not been in.
The nepotism. Jeez. Yeah.
So.
Well.
Bronny is right between Carey Mulligan and John Goodman.
Is, God, what's his name from, you know, John Malkovich? Is he on there?
John Malkovich is on there.
It's like the whole cast from Red.
Yeah, the whole cast from Red One.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah.
And you know, just classic movie stars.
Oh, well, that's nice. It sounds like that AMC's got it, they're doing the right thing. My AMC does not have that. They don't have Don Cheadle on a huge thing that represents his glory. If you guys didn't know, you're listening to the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. And I believe we have a little pregame action here. Flash.
Yeah. So
take it away.
I think we've talked about them on the podcast, the Dr. Pepper peeps.
Yeah. Willie did not send them.
Oh, Willie sent us peeps.
Yeah.
Oh. But as you can hear from the crinkling, I have some in my hand right now. And I'm going to eat one live on air. And I'm going to give a reaction.
Oh, all right. Lord.
Now.
Go ahead.
Now, crinkling, obviously great for an audio medium. Another thing great for an audio medium, eating on mic. And if you're going to eat on mic, got to make it marshmallows.
Yeah, and we need to hear the chewing happening.
So, get ready if you love ASMR, if you hate ASMR, if you're neutral on it, you're going to have an opinion after this. Here we go. Oh, also, I don't like peeps. So here we go.
Ooh, these are good sounds.
Yeah. Oh my God. So that actually, this is not a bit. That tastes a lot like Dr. Pepper.
Let's go.
Like it's coated in this Dr. Pepper sugar, and all of the flavors are there. That is actually pretty good.
Hey, that's impressive. Hey, 23 flavors. I wonder if it's just like all the sugar crystals are coated, or they're the same color. Right, but there's 23 individual little flavors sprinkled throughout, and then it's just sort of mixed together and then coated, and the marshmallows and coated. I'm doing a lot of pantomiming on screen, but it sounds great, man. Review 10 out of 10. What are we looking at here?
I know, yeah, 10 out of 10.
Hell yeah, for peeps, 10 out of 10, man. I was a big peeps guy when I was a kid. My parents would like fill my Easter basket with them. My grandparents would just buy the holiday versions for me whenever they would come out. And it's notorious within my family that I loved them so much that my uncle Kenny, he has forgotten between me and my brother. He knows one of us really likes peeps, and he just keeps buying my brother peeps thinking it's me. And so Willie gets peeps year round from this uncle who just forgot that Willie doesn't actually like peeps. I like peeps. So funny little anecdote there.
Yeah. Does your uncle listen to the podcast?
He doesn't, but he should. All uncles.
Well, if he is, I just want your uncle to know that I love Maseratis.
Okay, maybe he'll confuse you for me and he'll buy me a Maserati.
Oh, that would be something.
Yeah, hey. You know what? Now that we've talked about Dr. Pepper and how amazing those peeps are, so if you see them on a shelf, you should buy them. You should go out there and get them. I wonder if they'll do Blackberry Dr. Pepper peeps soon. But
maybe after the runaway success of the regular Dr. Pepper peeps, they got to branch out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have news, since this is the highly anticipated SpongeBob episode. It would only be fair if we included the SpongeBob cards and talked about them a little bit. We have, I think it's three secret lair drops with SpongeBob cards. So welcome to this universe, folks. We have the
We were talking about this before the episode started, that in the early days of the podcast, SpongeBob was the joke about when a SpongeBob Universes Beyond is when magic will finally jump the shark and all that stuff. And now we're here. How does it feel?
Oh, man. It's like another... I felt like that was a lifetime ago. That was like almost 2 years back. And I can't remember exactly what unit. I think it was Street Fighter. Maybe it was right around that time. Street Fighter came out. And it was Rusty who was like, man, I love these cards, man. But it's just like, what's it going to be next? SpongeBob versus Iron Man and shit like that. And now we've done both of those things. And yeah, we've definitely jumped the shark. We talked about it a little bit last week, which, by the way, people hated last week's episode. Sheesh. Yeah,
we had hated it.
Yeah, like 20 views on the YouTube episode like last week.
But we don't have to say that on mic.
You know what? I just got to make it known so that people who are watching this episode can go back and be like, "What did I miss?" And then, you know, hey.
Yeah, people
always plug in, baby.
Episode and be like, you know what? Those 20 people were right.
Fucked but we got 40 views instead. All right. Yeah, SpongeBob has arrived in Magic the Gathering. There are three drops. We have the meme drop, which is just like a collection of like internet memes, which I think is probably the best of the three drops. We have a daze that has like Mr. Krabs like looking around in a daze because he's super paranoid. It's beautiful. We have inevitable betrayal, which is that weird Patrick Starr like looking down thing. It's mostly used for sexuals memes, and yeah, there it's here. The inevitable betrayal. They could have.
Luckily, they did not choose some of the more unhinged sexual Patrick memes.
Yeah, there's quite
a
few.
They are out there. I regret and or delight to inform you that they exist.
They're out there. Yep. We have Force of Despair finally getting it already had one sweet Secret Lair reprint, but now we get another one. I love Force of Despair. It's so awesome. And it's the artwork where SpongeBob and Patrick are running around enjoying themselves outside, and Squidward is watching them through his blinds in his house. So love to see it. We have Night's Whisper, which is that like Squidward is sleeping and then all of a sudden his eyes pop open super bloodshot, like he just realized what happened. All these are pretty on point. And then the Counterspell is amazing. Like, it's the SpongeBob chicken look. Like, da, 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 da. Yeah, love it. It's amazing. All right. Now, the legendary creatures. Now, this was something that we didn't know. We didn't know if these SpongeBob cards would be mechanically unique. And they're not. So, if you were hoping for some, like, custom strange new design that would make or have an influence on the or impact the game, you didn't get them. So we just have reskins.
They're saving that for Steven Universe.
Yeah, Garnet being like a super punchy gruel card. But we have, you know, Mr. Krabs Penny Pincher. First is Charix the Raging Isle. Now I feel like they on some of these they just picked crab, like for this they just found a crab. A legendary crab. Cool. It's Mr. Krabs. I think they could have done a really great smothering tithe with Mr. Krabs in the artwork instead of making a legendary creature Mr. Krabs. But because there's nothing you do with currency. And that's all Mr. Krabs is about, especially since they called him Penny Pincher. Mr. Krabs Penny Pincher. There's no money involved in the card text. So next one, Plankton, Tiny Tyrant. I think this one's awesome. This one's Skrelv, Defector Mite. So it feels pretty fitting here. I think that's a good one. I think it's a great reskin, especially for like standard Pioneer, all those decks that, you know, now want to flex can with Plankton, Tiny Tyrant. We have Sandy Cheeks, Marshall Astronaut, which is Toski. Like I said, I think they just picked a squirrel and they were like, this is a squirrel. That's a squirrel. That's Sandy Cheeks. Because I would imagine that, like, yes, Sandy Cheeks attacks each combat of Abel. That's very, like, fitting character-wise. But a 1-1, that is not fitting. Should have been errated to a 6-6 or something. We have Gary the Snail. Now, this is the chase card for me. Gary the Snail is Toxrill the Corrosive. So a slug horror.
This is salt farming right here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is awesome. I would love to play this or have this or whatever. Plus, I think in foil, it's weird, but that little like splatter paint sand texture that they have in the background of this card in foil, I think that's going to be gorgeous. So Toxrill is amazing. If you've never played Toxrill or played against it, you're lucky to not have experienced the horror that is putting a slime counter on every creature at every end step. We have Squidward, which the artwork is fantastic. We have Grazalax, Illithid Scholar. This is from Baldur's Gate. And which, by the way, Baldur's Gate 3, still playing through. Just beat Moonrise Towers, baby. What's up?
Oh, hell yeah.
And Squidward isn't even a squid. He's just a horror. I don't know. This one's okay. And it says at the bottom, I hate all of you. Fitting. And then Patrick Starr, which is probably the most contentious reveal of them all. A lot of people were like kind of upset that Patrick didn't have any sort of like abilities. So Patrick Starr is a reskin of Barktooth Warbeard. So a legend from Legends that has not gotten a reprint. And this is its first. So it's a 4 black and 2 red human warrior 6/5. There's only one real relevant starfish in all of Magic, and it's Plagon. And everyone thought that we would just get a Plagon reskin if we were going to. We did not. We got a vanilla 7 mana 6/5. No abilities. And the flavor text says, I don't get it. Now, I think it's kind of flavorful in a way that Patrick is just kind of this, you know, oaf, right? But if you remember all the way back, way back, there was an episode where SpongeBob was winning all these awards and getting basically trophies in the mail every day. And Patrick was like jealous. And so he tried mimicking SpongeBob throughout the course of his day to get a trophy. Right. But we found out pretty quickly that Patrick had no abilities, and that's represented here for doing nothing longer than anybody else. Patrick Starr has won an award. It is what it is. It is now what it is. And then finally, we have SpongeBob as Joda the Unifier. This is the biggest dunk I think that someone can like stomp your face in with, because Joda is like legit. I love this card. I'm not sure if I love this reskinning. I'm not a big, you know, wasn't an initial fan of this SpongeBob announcement in general. But Joda is amazing. And even way back when Kyle was playing Joda in a CDH environment and saw success. Like, I think that, like,
I lost to that deck.
Yeah, it was good. That's the thing, is like when you play Joda Legends stacks or Legends combo, it just gets out of control. Like, it's like there are a lot of Legends out there that have some pretty like sticky, awful abilities that will put you out of the game. So I think SpongeBob could be coming to a CDH table near you. I think this might actually reinvigorate some people who are a little bit more on the nose, who like to create decks that are salty. And this could be it. I think this is the second best reskin. I like Gary. I like Toxrill more. But this is the second best one. And should be the chase if it's not. We have Krabby Patties as a food token. It's perfect. It's beautiful. You love Krabby Patties, don't you, Squidward? And then we have a basic lands package as well. So every land has Gary the Snail in it. And yeah, this is pretty great. I'm not sure if I'll buy the basic lands. I'm not sure how many people will. But
some people will.
Yeah, some people will. And they will enjoy them. If only they made it so you could buy one of them and build a cart for $5 each. Build a cart of however many basic lands you want, of any color, and you can purchase them that way.
I guarantee you that you'll sell more of them.
Oh, yeah. You'll sell a lot more of them. Yep. And you can actually make this like the one thing that's like, hey, this is a limited window. We'll print as many as we need. That way, when people just buy one to fill out their cart so they can get fucking free shipping, you know, it's like, boom, Wizards of the Coast. What are you missing? You're missing it. Do you not see it? The money. It prints itself.
Oh, the beautiful, beautiful money.
Yeah. Arr, money. That was my best, Mr. Krabs. All right. Flash, how are you? Are you excited about this SpongeBob stuff?
I am less excited than ever about Magic the Gathering at this point in time.
Heard. If you didn't listen to last week's episode.
Specifically, I wouldn't say it's the nail in the coffin, but it is one of the planks.
Yeah. I'm surprised there wasn't a Flying Dutchman card, you know, walk the plank. But the thing is with this, we talked about the Fortnite-ification of the game. It's sad because Fortnite sucks. Like, I don't want to play Fortnite, and I want a game that's good and provokes thought. And I think that's what I've found that like playing CDH does for me is like, there's a lot of nuance and you see a lot of new, unique interactions and stuff like that. And like, I'm at the end game, right? Mm-hmm. Like you get to the end game. How much replayability is left? And the more that they do stuff like this, the replayability factor actually goes down a little bit because it takes away from like the rewarding nature of the immersive aspect of Magic. So like that was what I like to do. And just the other day, I actually went and drafted a cube with a buddy of mine. And it was just all original cards. There weren't really any, or there were no secret lair cards in it at all. And it was so immersive to see like old cards that I haven't thought about or haven't played with in a long time and to like draft them into a 40 card deck. Man, I forgot about the world moved around me or moved around the table and we were just in it, man. We were so immersed. It was so rewarding. It was so awesome. Like, those are the moments that I love with Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, I mean, it's just cling to it or create those spaces yourselves. Because this is just across the board at Wizards, their philosophy now. Like, because also looking at D&D 5.5, is that what it is?
Yeah, the new update.
The new update. D&D, they just jettisoned all the old lore. Everything is lore agnostic and plane agnostic.
Yeah.
And their line is that it is on the basis of like, just because like, you know, DMs do that stuff anyway. So we're just going to make it so you can just mix and match however you want. But, for me in Magic the Gathering in D&D, some of creating actual lore and actual canon and saying like, these are some rules kind of just is what sets it in place. And then you can top everything on top of that. And then, but if you don't have that core there, it just, it loses a lot of the charm for me.
Yeah. I've left Mr. Krabs on screen for a reason here. This is all like an effort to broaden the demographic, which I think is great. Like I do the same thing when I'm like thinking about, like when I'm cooking, right? Like we want to be appealing to a wide demographic to increase the number of sales that we get, right? That's a very common thought and common practice in business and restaurants and stuff like that. The thing is that they've abandoned their core product for that. And that has left to, you know, a lesson that I learned actually, and this is why no one has copied the Mockstars podcast, is because there's a sense of originality behind it, right? And when you do something so well, it's hard for people to copy, right? And they'll never be able to copy exactly what you do. And for a long time, Magic the Gathering was that thing that people were out there trying to copy. Like card games are popping up, and just like with all of Magic's mechanics, you can go out there and you can pick up another card game like the Final Fantasy card game, which is actually amazing, and play it and understand it almost immediately, because a lot of the mechanics that existed in the original, like the foundation of Magic the Gathering, are existing in some elements there. Like they tried copying it and it didn't hold ground against what Magic was doing, because it was so original, it was so unique, it was impossible to copy. But now they've foregone that, and they've just said, well, Fortnite is clearly very successful, and we want to, you know, not exactly saying this, but like we want to be like that. They are copying other things now with like reskins and whatever. And the originality is lost. And so,
let's just say they have abandoned the idea of Magic's core identity.
Yeah. Yep. We saw that with hat sets and stuff like that. It like now we are at a point, and this is stuff we'll still be reporting on. You can listen to last week's episode to like hear our initial opinions on it. But like we're at a point now where they have to do a lot right consistently to regain the trust of like old school players.
Yeah, because for me, just speaking for myself personally, they've gone from straddling both worlds of like, hey, here's the core ethos of Magic, and then we're also doing this Universes Beyond stuff. Like, cool. They did that balance for a while, but now the balance is fully, it seems, on the side of money grab.
Yeah, this is
core identity.
Like I was saying, like this this, like Plankton right here, is Skrelv. This is standard legal. Like, that is you've crossed the line. Like, Final Fantasy will be standard legal. Like, those things cross the line and muddy the water, because you are no longer creating an original product. Like, that is no longer within the mythos, the ethos of Magic the Gathering. It is Final Fantasy is your new Magic set. And the excuse that they said for it is like, well, our team is so adept at making balanced standard sets that like, why not include it all? Man, if you can't see what you have and how special it is, just let it go. So Mauro, this isn't my like campaign to like get you to like step away, but this is like watching your favorite NFL franchise tank, or your NBA franchise like sell the team. This is the Dallas Mavericks of card games right now. They're fucking they've sold the ship, man, and like Luka Doncic is gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's go back to Baldur's Gate. Like, why there's not even like a siloed off version of Magic the Gathering anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It because you truly cannot escape, like you said, with stuff being standard legal, and some of this stuff is on Arena. Some of the, you know, at this point, like, you cannot escape it. And at least with D&D, you have like the Larian Studio games
Sure.
Like Baldur's Gate 3, where like, hey, I want to like I some these there is lore, and part of playing D&D is being rewarded for knowing lore and knowing Volo's deep history and you know who Jahira is and who Minsk is and like these different demons and these different celestials from different planes and blah blah blah. And like you get all that in Baldur's Gate 3, and it's this siloed off experience from what you now get in 5.5, which is creepily being Fortnite-ified.
It's turning into a hack game.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure is.
Yep. No one likes it when you say, when you put on a cowboy hat and you say, look at me, I'm a cowboy. No one likes that. It's not a funny joke.
And at least in D&D, within your group, you can assemble a play group, I think more easily than with Magic, to just be like, hey, we're the same people that are getting together every week. These are our core values. This is the world we're adhering to and all that sort of stuff. And you can do that more in D&D versus Magic, which is inherently more randomized who your play group is going to be.
And when you dismantle the structure of the game, right, like with the new D&D update, it's a lot harder to get people on board because there were a set of rules and there was this like outline of kind of what to expect. Like, yes, we're in a fantasy world, but you can be an orc, a half human, whatever like you want to be like in that realm. Right. There was structure to it and they've almost dismantled that a little bit. So we see that with Magic with the number of sets and key mechanics, core mechanics and stuff like that they've created as well. They had a really nice structure in which to build the game around to create unique instances and sequences within the game. And we've foregone that in the design realm where it's just everything is a doubling effect. Everything is this effect. Everything is, you know, like it's just a repeatable, like whatever effects create the most sales, they recreate those effects in every set in some new way. So, I'm sure we could go on day after day after hour, you know, like we could go on forever about this. But today's episode, while this is the highly anticipated SpongeBob episode where we complain about SpongeBob and marvel at how on the nose some of these are, it's like this is a CDH breakdown episode as well. And this week we are talking about Malcolm and Vile Smasher. The CDH deck taking the world by storm. This is, and not with storm, but by storm. This was a deck that was maybe pioneered, like being played by one of the OG mock stars, Jordan. This was basically his deck. And it's so funny to like see the ban list come and like nuke the deck a little bit. Like, right? Like you lose Jeweled Lotus, you lose Mana Crypt, and you lose Dockside. All three very important cards for a treasure based build or artifact based build. So it's crazy to see that like it's at the top of the list in conversion percentage, right? Because it lost so many important pieces. But just until this morning, so like we're recording on a Wednesday morning, and I don't know what CDH tournament happened on a Tuesday night, but literally yesterday when I looked, Malcolm was at the top of the list. Malcolm Vile Smasher was at the top of the list, but now Dehada is at the top of the list. So I don't know what happened, but it happened. And Malcolm Vile Smasher over the past 3 months has been one of the best performing decks in all of CDH. So that's why I wanted to pick it up and talk about it a little bit today, because it's a deck that I am pretty familiar with after playing against it like time after time after time after time again. And I was there alongside Jordan as he was brewing, and like we'd talk through a lot of like the cuts he would make and different like strategies and lines that he wanted to walk. And so it's a really cool, unique deck that is basically like a little bit pirate tribal, right? Like, you get benefits off of Malcolm and pirates. So Malcolm, if you're unfamiliar, is a 2 and a blue siren pirate that is a 2/2 with flying that says whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to your opponents, that's important, you create a treasure token for each opponent dealt damage, and it has partner. And the partner, Vile Smasher, is basically the Silas Wren of this deck because it is just there for colors. It is one, a black, and a red as a 2/3 Goblin Berserker. Whenever you cast your first spell each turn, choose an opponent at random. Vile Smasher, the Fierce, deals damage equal to that spell's converted mana cost to that player or a planeswalker that player controls. So not really a relevant ability. Like, you're not going to whittle your opponents down turn after turn after turn with Vile Smasher. It just isn't. It's there for colors. So Malcolm is what you're building around. Since losing Dockside, Dockside was like this really cool, like, hey, obviously I get a lot of treasures for entering the battlefield, but it can also deal combat damage, and I also get a treasure off of that. So the big thing here is that Malcolm, the line where it says whenever you a pirate you control deals damage to your opponents, it doesn't have to be combat damage, it's just damage. And so you get these really cool, like, little tribal cards, like Siren Storm Tamer or Kindred cards. Siren Storm Tamer, 1 blue flying pirate wizard that says you can pay a blue, sacrifice it, counter target spell or ability that targets you or a creature you control. So a little counter spell on a pirate that also, like, if it's not relevant for you to counter that thing, then it just continues to generate you treasures. Pretty much unblockable, right? Because, like, how often do you see flyers out there? Not very often. So you also get that with Spectral Sailor. It's a 1 mana flash flying spirit pirate that has, you know, if you're able to generate infinite mana, also allows you to draw your entire library. So kind of wacky, kind of like this crazy one drop that exists in these decks. Spyglass Siren is also, this is just one list we're looking at. This is by Nick S. I can't remember exactly. Yeah, this was the top rated list on it. Got second place in a tournament of 64 players. So the thing is that with Pirate Tribal, there's a couple really cool lines. If you're unfamiliar with, like, Malcolm, now that you know what it does, Glinthorn Buccaneer is a 2-card combo with your commander. This was the line that Jordan walked pretty much every time, right? And at when he was building it, it was well known. Like, Malcolm Glinthorn was its, you know, like, Malcolm Kettis was its own list, and Glinthorn was like the was the line. You would just hyper focus that. So in Grixis, you get you get more tutors, you get a little bit more speed, and you're able to consistently get to Glinthorn Buccaneer a little bit faster. But Glinthorn Buccaneer is 1 and 2 red for a Minotaur pirate that's a 2/4 with haste that says whenever you discard a card, Glinthorn Buccaneer deals 1 damage to each opponent. And then you can pay 1 and a red, discard a card, draw a card. Activate this ability only if Glinthorn Buccaneer is attacking. So the idea is that you play Glinthorn Buccaneer with Malcolm on the battlefield and you swing. Now, the way combat works, it's pretty great. You deal damage, and then before you move on from combat, Glinthorn Buccaneer has created you a treasure by dealing damage, getting you 1 mana closer to that discard a card effect. But since you have 3 opponents, it's because you attacked with it and you've dealt the damage, and before you move on to the main phase 2, Glinthorn Buccaneer is still technically attacking until the end of combat. And so you can activate this ability after you've dealt damage and after you've generated the treasure. So you activate the ability, discard a card. When you discard a card, Glinthorn Buccaneer deals 1 damage to each opponent. It hits all 3 opponents, and Malcolm sees that a pirate dealt damage to your opponents. And so it creates 3 treasures. And now you feed 2 of those treasures into discarding another card and drawing a card. And so it creates this loop where you deal infinite damage to your opponents and win the game. Pretty rad. Like, Glen Horn Buccaneer is always, and Malcolm has always been a line that I've enjoyed. It's very easy to walk. Now, the rest of the deck, since you're in a Grixis shell, has a lot of different ways to win. This is basically a, without Krark, or without, not Krark, Rograk, this is essentially like Rog'Sai, like outside of that. So you're playing Orcish Bowmasters. Mayhem Devil is here. Valley Floodcaller is here. And there's like all of that nonsense that exists in the in instants and sorceries, all the same basically as Rog'Sai, where it's just like Gamble, Imseal, Rite of Flame, Demonic Tutor, Diabolic Intent, Last Chance, Lively Dirge, Mnemonic Betrayal, Praetor's Grasp, Beseech the Mirror, and then your instance is all interaction, all demonic consultation stuff, because you are also playing Thassa's Oracle. So,
I mean, why not?
You're in the colors. You should be doing that. Yeah. If you're in black and blue.
Yeah, no, I can see why this deck is good. I mean, I've lost to it. But like, you know, you have a pretty solid command zone combo, and you get to play Grixis and have access to Thoracle, and like, man, you just get all the win cons, all the interaction that you need, but losing Dockside hurts, but not that much.
Yeah, it's funny how like I really thought that losing Jeweled Lotus would kill Malcolm decks, like would really hurt them. And it definitely hurt Malcolm Timna, I think, the most, because that was also really like consistent Esper shell way back, you know, like before the ban, way back. But like this can still exist, because as long as you're in red, you still have access to things like Rite of Flame, which is basically enough to get you there, right? You still have all of your fast mana, like your all of your artifacts still coming into play. So yeah, this is like still a very, very consistent deck. And now that we're mid-ranging, like now that the entire format, now the entire CDH community is focused on mid-ranging, now that we've found ways to interact with Rog'Sai and stop it from stealing games from time to time, not all the time. You know, this is like, this is a more consistent Grixis shell, that's for sure. Or like Malcolm can keep coming down. Malcolm, and it always is a threat, because you just never know when the Glinthorn's going to come down and win the game. But it's also just generates mana. So the one thing that is unique about this is that you do get some really fun loops. And this is part of the conversation I wanted to like provoke today, is the importance of fun in a CDH build. And a lot of people are going to be like, nope, no fun cards, not allowed. And there's one card in here, and I see it and I recognize it every time, because it's, you know, like Jordan and I talked about this deck a lot, but Trickery Charm is here. Trickery Charm is amazing. It's one blue mana for an instant that says target creature gains flying until end of turn, or target creature's type becomes the creature type of your choice until end of turn, or look at the top four cards of your library, then put them back in any order. So has three modes. It's you know, obviously very versatile, has does quite a bit. But the most important one that I want to talk about as far as fun goes is the second one, where you can change a creature's type into any creature type that you want. So what if Mayhem Devil was a pirate? So if you turn Mayhem Devil into a pirate, whenever a player sacrifices a permanent, Mayhem Devil deals one damage to any target. If you turn him into a pirate and you sacrifice the treasure that Malcolm created, or if you have a treasure out, Mayhem Devil is going to see that, or well, basically, you sacrifice a treasure, Mayhem Devil is a pirate. You will deal one damage. You'll create another treasure because Malcolm saw that. You'll sacrifice that treasure again. Now you have infinite mana and infinite damage as long as no one interacts with those two. So that's another, you know, it's three cards now, but it's something where the deck will walk itself into things like that, or you can tutor those things up. Mystical Tutor, the trickery charm to the top of the deck, and people probably know what's coming next. I think it's important to like have effective, efficient win conditions. Now, the build that I enjoy the most, and I went through probably 10 lists, like, and not a single person is playing Magda. And like, I don't understand it. Magda is a dwarf. It says whenever a dwarf becomes tapped, you create a treasure token. So, and then also has the ability where you can sacrifice 5 treasures to go pull an artifact or dragon from your library to the battlefield and put it, or yeah, and it's busted. Magda is its own like CDH deck on its own. And it's very consistent and it's still top tier to this day. But the build that I really enjoyed, the one that Jordan sort of like was cooking up at high power, which I thought had a lot of potential in CDH because it was more mid-rangey, was using Magda as a secondary commander to pull Maskwood Nexus to the battlefield. Do you remember that variant?
No.
And this is a long time ago, and a lot of people, there have been a few decks out here that are playing with like weird stuff, like this new blue ley line from Duskmourne. It's called Leyline of Transformation, that says when it enters the battlefield, or choose a creature type. So like probably choosing pirate. Creatures you control are the chosen type in addition to their other types. The same is true for creature spells you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield. So it's a little bit of a Maskwood Nexus, but it doesn't like turn all creatures into all types and, you know, in the deck and on the battlefield. It just turns them all into one type. And the upside here is that it can be on the battlefield for free. If it's in your opening hand, it's great to have those effects. You know, obviously every CDH deck is on at least one of those effects, Gemstone Caverns. So like it's awesome. This is the type of flavor that and fun that I guess I'm talking about, is that like you sacrifice a little to have more upside, or to have a line that isn't quite as known as, you know, like something like just Glinthorn Malcolm or whatever. So Maskwood Nexus in combination with Mayhem Devil would obviously do the pirate thing. There are also a few other cards that do the same thing, like Reckless Fireweaver, that whenever an artifact enters, you deal 1 damage. And so a pirate will have dealt damage to each opponent. You'll create 3 treasures, and then it just boom, you know, like bada bing, bada boom. You combo off and you win the game. That was something where Maskwood Nexus would come in. So Magda, you're already generating tons of treasures. Maybe this was better with Dockside. Probably was better with Dockside. But you would sacrifice 5 treasures. You go get the Maskwood Nexus. And then all of a sudden, it's like Vile Smasher has a place because it's now a pirate. So like whenever you cast a spell, you deal damage, you get a treasure off of it. So, you know, like I'm not seeing it in any modern, like any more recent lists or any more recent builds. And it kind of bugs the shit out of me, man. Like I really want it with the Mayhem Madness or mid-range madness that's sort of like happening in the world today. We can find room for Kedis, but we can't find room for Maskwood Nexus. We can find room for Lightning Rig Crew, which is also great. I love Lightning Rig Crew, but we can't find room for Maskwood Nexus. Or Magda. Kills me, dude. Kills me. I think it's a... So, like, I guess the question in the conversation is, do you think it's more important to have a deck that wins? Obviously, in CDH, it's where you want to be. You want to be in the win column. Let's say it wins more consistently, right? Or have a deck that is a reflection of yourself and is more fun but wins less consistently. What do you think?
Where's the meta at right now? Wouldn't that determine it?
Yeah, you know, like the meta is definitely like mid-range, so that's where I guess for me, my argument would be that having something a little bit more fun, especially in this current non-turbo format, would pay dividends, where it'd be a little bit more fulfilling. You get to learn lines that are a little bit different and a little bit more unique that aren't being walked, or as well. I guess the big thing with CDH is how well can an opponent anticipate what you're going to do, because that will then result in how they choose to interact with you. Because while it is great to know your deck is the best as possible, the best players know every deck and know all of the windows in which to interact with their own deck. And so, I guess that is like the meta right now has the opening and it has the availability to play around at least a little bit with one or two cards. And, I don't know, like, I'm playing Helga right now. Helga is the truth, y'all. And it's amazing. It walks the lines that I like to walk. Not just food chain. It just does all the things that I like. It interacts with the table, builds board presence. And when you go for the win, it's hard to interact with. So I think, it definitely scratches all of my itches and is fun in the same vein, even though it's not the number one converting deck currently at the moment. It's definitely worth playing. So my answer, is I'd rather see something fun or something unique at the table. I would rather lose in a new way than to continue losing in the same ways over and over.
Yeah, again. I mean, if the SpongeBob universe is beyond us here and our souls are dead, we might as well have fun at the table in whatever capacity we can.
So, I mean, that's I don't know how regarded I am as a deck builder, like in the community, if people think I'm good or not at building. But ultimately, at the end of the day, is like, how fulfilling is it to play the deck that I've built? And I just can't net deck. I want one of these days, looking at all these Malcolm lists in the Discord communities that talk about lists like this, is that it is a collective of people that are connected and talking about like one strategy and wanting to come together and find the most efficient way to win or to make the decks better or help each other out. I just like, there are times when it becomes an echo chamber and then every deck looks the same. Every deck operates the same way. It's the way Blue Farm is, that's why we say it's like figured out. It's like Blue Farm is figured out, right? It is the most popular deck of all time because it is so consistent and it wins through the stinkiest murk you can walk through. It can traverse even the most rugged of all terrain. Like it is the ATV of CDH decks. So and with other decks that are not that, it's like, you can't be driving on ice for this deck to win, for it to be effective. I get it. You have to be on a nice dry interstate. All the lanes are open. You can switch lanes as much as you want. There's no resistance. Like some decks are like that. Blue Farm is not. And I think the more fun you have, the more you need multiple lanes to be open in order for you to win the game. Does that analogy land?
Sure, I'll give it to you.
All right, sweet. Well, Malcolm Vile Smasher, even though I haven't gone through and talked about every single sorcery, every single instant, every single artifact, it is a Grixis shell. is a Grixis shell, and I do love the deck, and I've talked of, you know, a couple of the ways to win. Some lists like to play cards like Curiosity that say whenever enchanted creature deals damage to an opponent, you may draw a card it is like a card draw engine, turns Mayhem Devil into something far more valuable, and can result in you drawing your entire library like even faster. So like there is, people are playing some cards that are better engines, but the idea here is that even though you're playing all these artifacts, the idea is you are either stumbling into an underworld breach line, or you are pursuing a Malcolm Glenhorn Buccaneer line that will result in you winning the game. Everything else is value. Everything else is interaction. Everything else is a tutor. Everything else is, you know, something that, you know, walks your way into it. So, Gamble, Imperial Seal, Reanimate, Rite of Flame, Demonic Tutor. It's all the same. These, like, every list I looked at was all the same. The interaction is pretty well figured out. It's just making a few decisions on whether or not you want to play Flusterstorm or you want to play, you know, Strix Serenade. It really depends on what you're seeing more often at tournament. Into the Flood Maw is also in some of these builds. Even though you can't bounce your Dockside anymore, bouncing creatures is still very valuable to get a Drannith out of the way. So, and then you can play tasty things like Fire Covenant because you're not on Ad Nauseam. Well, it is actually, sorry, this version of Malcolm Vile Smasher is on Ad Nauseam. So that's also a line you can walk. That was what Jordan always, as I saw the fun build turn into the more efficient Grixis shell, you know, it fell in line more with like Ad Nauseam and all of these pieces of interaction. It still had Dockside back in the day, so it was, you know, it was fine. It still worked. But I saw the sacrifices being made while I still thought the deck was effective. He was all about hyper efficient lines, and even though the hyper efficient lines are the most well-known lines, that's where it can sort of be a crux in a way, because people know how to interact with you. So he was definitely frustrated at the time, like at the time when he decided to step away from the game. He wasn't seeing the success that he wanted out of a lot of his builds. And, you know, it's just, I guess when you, in this isn't a criticism of him. This is just when you abandon the things that made the deck unique in order to play a more efficient or something that is more well-known, I would say, you aren't going to feel as fulfilled. Some people, you just reach fulfillment in different ways. And some people get that through winning. And I get it in different ways. I don't know where I'm going with that, but we got there. Flash, any final thoughts on Malcolm Vile Smasher, the pirate machine gun deck that wins through most likely Glenhorn Buccaneer, Thassa's Oracle, or Underworld Breach?
No, except for it's nice to see an old dog rising back at the top in the post-ban meta. Like, it seems like things have settled out and people have figured out how to take those traditional strategies and just, you know, just... All right.
It's time.
You don't have Gold Lotus. You don't have Dockside. We just got to move on.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like you said, this is an old dog, not necessarily learning new tricks. There aren't really any new cards here, but it can fit into the, like, it can shoot the gap on how, like, every format as things shift and change. Rog'Sai at the top of the ban list was the nightmare deck where you did not want to play against it because everybody was still figuring out how to navigate the new ban list. But Rog'Sai was like, yes, I can still win. I didn't lose anything. People are going to, like, while everyone's figuring shit out, I'm going to still push for the win on turn one, turn two. So, you know, now that the format has solidified a little bit and people are starting to find new gaps to shoot, Malcolm Vilesmasher is just finding the right gap to shoot right now to be able to convert nearly 27% of the time without any new tricks. It's just the old tricks have a way of doing it, you know, like they're effective. The one card I am seeing, which is also really great, I think is Braids, Arisen Nightmare. So if you guys haven't seen, this is one of the better mono black card draw engines that we have. For 3 mana, 1 and 2 black, at the beginning of your end step, you may sacrifice an artifact, creature, enchantment, land, or planeswalker. If you do, each opponent may sacrifice a permanent that shares a card type with it. For each opponent who doesn't, that player loses 2 life and you draw a card. Most of the time, CDH decks are very efficient builds. Every card matters. Why would you sacrifice the card that matters and give, like, give your opponent that's like, I don't know, it's an edge. You're losing. You just, they're going up in card advantage against you. Either way, that's the one beautiful thing about Braids, is that if you don't need the land because you're a really, really tight-knit Grixis shell, you have like the rituals, you have the things that you need, Braids can sacrifice a land. Nobody else is sacrificing a land. They need it in order to give themselves a shot. You just drew 3 cards. It's good. It's really good. And if you can land it, it might just be worth the dark ritual in order to do it. So yeah, pretty rad. All right. This has been the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. And Dr.
Yeah,
Pepper
get the
peeps.
Dr. Pepper peeps if you see him.
Yeah. Yeah, recommended by Flash himself. Go out there and get some. If you see them on the shelves, grab me a pack too. Send us peeps if your name's Willie. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where you can see my stupid face on screen. You can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications, and check out our previous episodes as well. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms, where you can leave us a 5-star review to make us look super duper cool. Shares, and that also helps the algae rhythm. It helps Don Cheadle. 1, puts clothes on his back. 2, helps him get a new job on screen. 3, it helps your friends find us. It helps new people find the show. So go out there, give us a 5-star review, put some clothes on Don Cheadle's back. You can also support us on Patreon, where you can become an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. Support the show, have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server, and you can support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier. For $5 a month, get a free entry into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, which we'll be doing at the end here in just a moment. Like Maybe Anthony, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbard, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, and Will Rule. You can support the show at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier for $10 a month. And you can support us for $50 a month, like Ravenlift, and gain access to the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge with the Tasmanian Devil, the Iron Giant. Vin Diesel is there sometimes. And LeBron shows up for brunch. So if you want to, you know, like, Sunday afternoon, you never met LeBron before, sign up for that tier and you can meet him in your imagination in the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge. All right, Flash, we're getting out of here. This has been the Mockstars podcast.
Let's go. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye. All right, if you made it this far in the episode, you know what it is. It is this week's bi-weekly giveaway, and this week we are giving away my beautiful Queen of Snakes. It is a proxied CDH Hapatra deck. Now, it isn't like full-on like gas to Yawgmoth type build. It's a little bit more resilient. It's a little bit more mid-rangey, and it allows you to like play it with fours and not totally get dismantled by a board wipe type of build. It's awesome. I really do love this deck so much, and it's so much fun to play. So hopefully what I'm doing is I'm giving somebody else the joy of destroying their opponents with Hapatra. It's really great Snake Queen, beautiful build here. So I call it Mona Lisa's Snake Circus because her subtle smile is suffused with venom. All right, let's go ahead, spin the wheel, and see who wins this week's giveaway. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who's it gonna be? Oh, yeah. It's UWP Quirk! UWP Quirk, congratulations. I'll get this baby in the mail for you. You've got you have Hapatra's Snake Circus coming your way. And you know how much I love this deck, and now you get the opportunity to play it. So thank you all for participating. Thank you all for supporting the show. I really do appreciate it. We appreciate it as the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. We will see you next time on the next giveaway. And thanks again for supporting. We'll see you later. Peace.